Get Going by Impertinence, read by Night Tracer. Fandom, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pairing, Sid Gino. Summary. Sid dates Gino. Gino doesn't realize it. Gino knew he'd be playing with Sidney Crosby. Everyone talked about her, even in Russia. What he didn't realize was that he'd see her laughing like an idiot at practice and... well, it's nothing, really. He's just a little hung up, is all. Just a little hung up. Nothing happens, of course. Sid never recognizes when guys hit on her. And Gino doesn't know any English at first. When he does, he learns enough to realize that all of the guys treat her like one of them. She's non-sexual to them. She dresses in utilitarian pants and tank tops or long-sleeve shirts most of the time. And there are rumors that she's a lesbian. Gino doesn't know what to think about those. He hopes it's not true, but there's no evidence either way. He can't help but think that if she was a lesbian, she wouldn't be able to hide it this well. Sid's not exactly known for subtlety. Everyone's tired. The first month of this season. They went to the finals last year and were beaten soundly. And the first month is a rocky start that sees them hovering outside the playoffs. The only person who's not feeling the grind is Sid. She's first on the ice and last off, and if anything distracts her from the ridiculous, burning intensity she seems to have, it's certainly not Gino. They finally start to put something together in November. November is also when Sid starts inviting herself over. The first time Sid says, "Hey, do you want to hang out?" Gino blinks at her. She looks back impatiently before saying, "We need to go over some plays, and you can buy beer, and I can't." Sid doesn't really drink, and Gino knows it. Which means they'll just talk hockey non-stop until Sid decides she needs to leave. But Gino's not going to tell Sid no. He says, "Okay, yes." "Awesome," Sid says, "I'll follow you." She waves her keys. Gino leads them back to his home. Sid parks her car on the street and hops up the steps. "Thanks," she says, when Gino opens the door. But she doesn't go ahead of him. She waits until he's already in. Gino's not sure Sid even understands when people try to hold doors for her. "So," she says, plopping down on the couch. "Beer?" She makes a face when Gino hands her Bud Light. So Gino says, "Is better. No whole beer." "I know," she says, "whatever." She takes a drink. "So I was thinking about how you keep setting me up for goals." Gino blinks. "I want you to stop."
"I don't."
"Yes, you do." Sid taps her foot restlessly. "It's really obvious. Okay, not to everyone else, but it is to me. I don't need help, Gino. I was a colder runner-up without you. I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need help."
"I know," Gino says.
He tries to fit English around what he wants to say.
"Is why I pass. You good. I see you. I think. I give puck. Sid make work. See?"
Sid's frowning at him. "You're telling the truth."
"Don't lie to you."
"Okay," Sid says after a long moment. That's all I wanted to say, really. So... Gino smiles a little.
"Drink beer, Sid. We watch TV."
They end up watching Survivor. It's terrible. But good practice for English. Sid, of course, whines about it. "I don't see the point of these shows," she says, waving her beer bottle at the screen. "They're stupid."
"Americans, duh."
"That's not funny," Sid says, scowling. "Our fans are American."
"Your fans are all countries."
Sid turns bright red. "Well," she mumbles. Sid finishes her beer mostly in silence. Then she says, "Want to watch some hockey? There's a game on the NHL network."
"Yes,"
Gino says immediately, because he's not going to turn down spending more time with Sid. "Cool," Sid says. "I'm getting another beer." She hops off the couch. Gino glances over, remembers she has to get her pants custom fitted, and looks away before he blushes too much. They're friends, he reminds himself. That's all. Friends. She comes back with two beers and hands one to Gino. Rangers Bruins, she says, pointing at the screen. Awesome. Gino hunches down and watches the game on the opposite end of the couch from Sid. After that, Sid comes over a lot. There's no real pattern to when she decides to come over. It's usually after practice, but sometimes there will be a week and a half between visits, and sometimes there will just be a day. She always gets this strangely determined look on her face when she asks Gino about coming over, which Gino doesn't understand at all, because he never tells her no. That doesn't exactly escape Sergei's attention. You're pathetic, he tells him one day, after Sid makes sure they're still on hanging out the next day. Gino shrugs. We have fun. You sit around talking about hockey and being miserable because she sees you as her nice, safe, non-sexual friend. Gino sighs. Sergei. Xenia, this is unhealthy.
It's my business, Gino says, not yours.
Oh, well, I apologize then. Your argument is very persuasive. Gino shakes his head.
Nothing's going to happen.
That's precisely my worry.
And I'm okay with that, Gino says. I promise, okay?
Sergei stares at him suspiciously. But Gino just looks steadily back. Sergei doesn't need to know about how his stomach is twisted in knots every time Sid comes over. Or about how he wishes, with ridiculous fervency, that Sid cared about him the way he cares about her.
Fine, Sergei says finally. It's your funeral, as they say. Thanks, Gino says sarcastically.
Sid comes over after practice the next day. She's carrying a bottle of, Gino blinks.
Vodka?
Good vodka, Sid says. I went to the south side and got them to help me. This is good vodka, right? She adds nervously. Gino takes the bottle from her. It's hardly top of the line, but it's Russian, and Gino's had way worse.
Yes, he says. It's good, Sid.
Good. Sid smiles a little. We don't have anything tomorrow, so I figured we could, you know, relax. If asked, Gino would have said Sid doesn't know the meaning of relaxation. But he doesn't tell her that, obviously. Instead, he says, sure, and goes inside. Gino gets a glass of vodka for himself and a few fingers of it for Sid. Sid accepts it with a slight smile, settling into Gino's couch. She's got her usual spot, all the way across the couch from Gino. It's a mixed blessing. On one hand, she has a usual spot. On the other hand, it's as far away from Gino as possible. Gino pushes those thoughts away and turns the TV on. You don't have a girlfriend, right? Gino blinks.
No.
Sid's in a strange mood, even for her. Okay, Sid says, and takes a sip of vodka. They sit there in silence for a while. Normally, Gino would be able to think of something to say, but normally they'd be drinking beer or the protein shakes Sid insists on, not vodka. So they sip the vodka and sit there. Until Sid says abruptly, you know, I sleep with guys, right? Gino almost follows his tongue. No, I mean, not often. She licks her lips, but sometimes.
Right,
Gino says and takes a huge gulp of vodka. He doesn't intend to get drunk, but it happens more quickly than he'd have expected, in no small part because Sid's there, and she's drinking more than enough, and she's laughing often, and her tank top shows a lot of cleavage. And Gino's the worst friend in the world. Just after midnight, Gino's telling broken stories about his coaches back in Russia, and Sid's collapsed on the couch, laughing madly. Her feet are almost touching Gino's thigh, and a strip of skin is showing between her tank top and her jeans. Gino's trying, and pretty much failing, not to look.
So I tell him, puck not for eating, and he not get joke.
Gino finishes.
I do suicides.
Sid laughs. You were a troublemaker. I can't believe it.
Only a little. Gino grins at her, feeling flushed.
I think, Sid stared at the ceiling.
I don't think I can drive home. I have guest room, Gino says.
Sid blinks at him.
Oh, yes. I didn't mean to drink this much vodka. Hold it well, Gino says, feeling like a tool.
Sid smiles, bright and wide.
Anyway, Gino stands up and offers her a hand.
I don't need help, she grumbles. But she takes his hand and lets him pull her up. For a second, they're too close, Sid blinking up at Gino. Then she steps back quickly, almost tripping over her own feet.
Let's go upstairs, she says.
Gino's throat closes around everything he wants to say.
Yes,
he says, and leads the way. He can't help it. That night, he jerks off, choking off the noises he'd usually make and trying, and completely failing, not to think about Sid in the next room over. He thinks about the way her shirt rode up and her stupid laugh and fuck her mouth. Her mouth. He imagines it wrapped around his dick. How she'd suck him like she was dissecting a play. Which shouldn't be hot, but definitely, undeniably, is. He imagines fucking her, holding her ass as she rides him, pressing her down into the mattress and fucking her until she's falling apart. He wants it. He wants her. He comes into his hand with a barely choked off moan. After he's done, he closes his eyes. He feels more than a little ashamed, but that's not enough to stop him from falling asleep. When he wakes up in the morning, it's the smell of coffee drifting up the stairs. He goes downstairs to see Sid sitting at his kitchen table, reading the paper.
Morning,
Gino says thickly. She's wearing boxers and a loose t-shirt, which means at some point she found the clothes he keeps for guests. They're too big on her, and they look good. Gino blushes and looks away. Hey, Sid says. Do you ever read the news? They're talking about me. From the look on her face, it's nothing good.
No, Gino says. Don't care about news.
Oh. Sid looks down, red. Want some coffee? Gino smiles a little.
Can get own coffee, Sid.
Right, totally,
I knew that.
Gino goes and gets his coffee. He's barely poured it when Sid says, did you sleep well? Gino freezes. For a second, all he can think is that Sid must have heard him. Then reality comes back to him, so he says,
yes, you?
I was really drunk, Sid says, sounding embarrassed. How'd you drink so much?
Gino snorts. No try to keep up with Russian, Sid. Problem there.
Well, Sid says, anyway, I was going to go to the gym. I keep my gear in the car, so. He doesn't know why she's phrasing it like a question.
Put clothes on first, he says, smiling a little,
and sitting down across from her. Sid turns bright red and looks down.
Sorry. It's fine, Sid. You spend night. It's okay. Does someone see? Problems for you.
I didn't spend the night, Sid says, frowning.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, Sid says loudly, I was thinking, you could come with me. Gino blinks. To the gym.
Oh, okay, he says.
Before he can think better of it, Sid smiles. Awesome, she says and sips her coffee. Gino's not a big fan of going to the gym on his days off. But he thinks it's now pretty well established, to him anyway, that he'll do pretty much anything Sid wants him to. They go together, taking Gino's car. No one remarks on them travelling together when they get there, which Gino guesses makes sense, considering the sheer number of times he's carpooled with Sid. They spend some time on weights, and Sid almost murders herself on the bike, before Gino says,
dripping sweat. We go shower, yes?
Sid slows down, taking deep, slow breaths. Even sweating like this, she's distractingly hot.
Right,
Sid says, taking deep breaths. Okay. Gino offers her a hand, but she ignores it and hops off the bike. They head off to their separate showers, but Sid comes back into the locker room with a towel wrapped around her. That felt good, she says. She sounds surprised. Gino would glance over at her, but he knows her well enough to know she's probably hopping into her underwear completely naked.
Yes.
he says instead. Yep, she says. Want to go back to your place and play Call of Duty? For a second, Juno just stares at her. She has to realise how weird this is. Probably. But she looks back at him guilelessly. Finally, he says,
okay, yes, we go.
Let me grab my stuff, she says, apparently completely clueless to Juno's confusion. Juno shakes his head and shoves his things into a bag. Today is apparently going to be his strangest day off ever. He'll just have to deal with it. Sid doesn't talk much on the way home. When they get there, she dumps her stuff and goes into the living room without looking back at Juno. For a second, Juno just stares at her back and, okay, her ass, before he grabs both their gear bags and puts them in the closet. Sid's sitting on the couch when he comes out, her feet pulled up under her. She doesn't look small, exactly, but she looks like someone Juno wants to put his arms around and kiss, touch, and... No, he's not thinking about that.
Call of Duty, he says, going over to the PlayStation. Here, he tosses her a controller.
She catches it nimbly. I just want to shoot some stuff, she says. Juno smiles.
Shoot more. Shoot everyone.
For a second, Sid just stares at him. Then she erupts in laughter. Oh God, she gasps. Oh God, Juno, that's not funny. That's not. He wouldn't make the joke with anyone but her. With her, her laughter just makes him grin back, sitting on the couch next to her, a little closer than normal. Since they're hooked up to the PlayStation now, it's not like she'll notice. They play for hours, only stopping to grab some of Sid's gross protein shakes and some chicken. Sid's winning after 2 hours, but Juno's pulled ahead after 3. Juno mocks her as best as he can with his English, but Sid just glares and starts playing that much more intensely. It's hilarious and very, very Sid. Finally, though, Sid pulls ahead. The second she does, she tosses her controller down and says, okay, I'm done.
Cheating, Sid.
I'm not.
Little bit.
Sid crosses her arms and glares. It's 4 o'clock by then, so Juno says,
staying for dinner.
She glances at the clock and then flails, almost falling off the couch.
No, no, I'm supposed to have dinner with Mario. Oh God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stay this long. I'm
going to go. I have to... Okay, hang on.
Sid, breathe, Juno says, standing up. Gear bag in closet. Go get stuff.
She grabs her messenger bag and her gear bag. Okay, so she looks up at Juno.
Bye.
She's a little flushed from her panic, and Juno wants to kiss her more than he wants almost anything in the world. He steps back and says,
bye, Sid.
Bye, Sid says, and practically runs out the door. Juno wants to order pizza and have beer and drown his sorrows. Instead, he calls Sergei.
Busy.
Not too busy for you, he says.
Sid stayed over.
Juno winces and holds the phone away from his ear. When Sergei comes back, he says,
I'm sorry, I dropped my phone after you told me you slept with Sidney Crosby. What? No, she slept over because we got drunk.
Ah, and you didn't?
No, Juno says, I wouldn't if she was drunk.
Well, Sergei says, that's interesting news.
Juno sighs, I know.
What did you do?
Went to the gym. Played PlayStation. Nothing, really.
Sergei starts laughing. Juno's used to Sergei laughing at him when it comes to Sid, so he waits patiently for him to finish. Sergei says,
you're joking, right? You may as well be dating this girl. Well, I'm not.
You're such a sucker, my friend.
I know, Juno says. Are you done?
No, come over. Xenia's out for the night. We'll celebrate your impending nuptials to our lovely teammate.
I'm not.
You're coming over, Sergei interrupts and hangs up. Juno sighs and goes to get his stuff. They play the Rangers 2 nights later. Jorna fucks off to hang out with his brother, but Tanja, Flower and Talbot convince Sergei, Juno and Sid to come out with them. We won't get you in too much trouble, Talbot says, wiggling his eyebrows at Sid. Okay, she says. Talbot laughs, used to his innuendo falling flat with her. You can't wear that, though. You won't get into the club for wearing that. Sid looks down at her baggy jeans and loose-fitting sweater.
What's wrong with what I'm wearing?
Flower looks at her.
You know those custom fit jeans you have?
All my jeans are custom fit.
The tight ones, Flower clarifies. Did you bring those?
Sid flushes.
Yes, but...
Those and a skin tight sweater.
Flower says, come on. It's not like making you wear a dress.
But, Sid,
Talbot says, widening his eyes.
Don't you want to be my wingman?
Sid wrinkles her nose.
No.
I'll run extra drills with you tomorrow, Flower says. I swear.
Ugh, Sid says. Okay, give me a second.
When she comes back, all the guys except Gino wolf whistle. Gino just swallows hard and tries not to look at her too much. Her shoulder-length hair is combed in something resembling a style, and under her wool coat, the tight sweater and tighter jeans look really good. Gino glances at her, then glances away again. Unfortunately, he falls into step with Flower on the way to the club.
She's pretty, eh? Flower says.
Gino shakes his head.
Not pretty.
No, you're right, Flower says. Hot.
Gino blinks at him. Not appropriate.
Flower grins at him. Relax, Gino.
You're the one with the hangdog crush on our Sid, not me.
I don't, Gino says, but he's lying, and he's pretty sure it's obvious.
It's fine, Flower says.
Then they're at the club and he can't say anything else. They probably would have gotten in, even without Sid changing. But with her at the front, they get in quickly. Sid makes a beeline for the table in the corner, so they all follow her. She sits down with the air of someone who has no intention of getting up again.
Come on, Talbot says, grabbing Flower and dragging him out to the dance floor.
Ugh, Sid says. Gino watches her with amusement.
Want drink?
Not really, Sid says. We have practice tomorrow.
Don't have to get, how say, hammered. Just beer.
Sid eyes him. What's in it for you?
See, Sid, not sulk.
Not everyone has evil motivations, Tanja says. Sid starts guiltily. At least Gino might not be the only one who forgot he was there, Gino thinks.
Right, she says.
Well, okay, you can get me a beer. Tanja snorts.
Generous of you, Crosby.
She rolls her eyes. I'll get the next round, Gino. Gino nods and goes to get them some beers. When Gino comes back to their booth, Tanja's gone.
Where Tango?
Gino says, handing Sid her beer. She points wordlessly to the dance floor. Gino squints. He can just barely make out the three guys, each dancing with different girls.
I don't want to be ground on, Sid says by way of explanation.
Gino makes a split-second decision and slides into the booth next to her, bumping her companionably.
Me neither, he says.
She laughs.
You wouldn't be. If alone, yes. Finish beer. We dance.
No way, Sid says, shaking her head. She takes a long drink of beer. I don't dance.
I know, you bad, Gino says. Horrible.
She narrows her eyes. I know what you're trying to do. It won't work.
Sure. Gino grins at her. Sid's scared little girl. No want dance.
You're a dick, Sid says, but she leans back and finishes her beer. Gino watches the long line of her throat, her lips wrapped around the bottle. Finish yours, she says threateningly. We're going to dance. Talbot sees them almost as soon as they get on the dance floor. He whoops and gives them a thumbs up. Sid flips him off in response. This is a club, so it's not like there will actually be a slow song to trip them up. But once they get on the dance floor, Sid goes still and looks at Gino. So Sid does what he does best when he has to dance. He hams it up, flinging his arms back and forth and pointing at Sid. Sid looks incredulous at first, but then she laughs and starts harmlessly bopping to the beat. On impulse, Gino grabs her hands and twirls her around. She shrieks, Gino! But it's lost in the noise of the club. He dips her, then twirls her again. They're not even on the beat, and Gino really doesn't care. Laughing, he pulls her arms from side to side. She's laughing now, too, that dumb laugh that always makes him smile back. She's not pulling away anymore, and that alone is reason enough for Gino to smile and smile and smile at her as they dance. Once the song ends, though, Sid says, okay, enough, and goes off the dance floor. At the last minute, Gino grabs her wrist so he doesn't lose her, following her through the maze of people back to their table.
That was fun, I guess, Sid says, sliding into the booth. Her hair is stuck to her neck in places. Gino wants to push it away and kiss her neck, press her into the booth. Instead, he says,
"Yes, it's point of club, Sid. Have fun."
She rolls her eyes at him. But she looks less angry now. Gino settles in next to her again, and they signal a server for more beer. By the end of the night, Flower and Talbot are leaning on each other, and Tand is drunkenly leaving with a girl who's way out of his league. For starters, Gino thinks, she looks like she showers. Talbot buys a bottle of rum at the bar, and then winds up carrying it into the taxi with him.
"Party in my room," he says, waving the bottle. Flower's laughing and correcting him. "Our room."
Sid and Gino look at each other.
"With rookies," Gino says.
"With everyone," Talbot yells back. "Come on, man." Sid shakes her head. "I have stuff to do. We'll take another taxi. See you guys tomorrow," she says. Talbot knows not to argue with her when she sounds like that. They all do. He shrugs and shuts the taxi door. And a minute later, it speeds away. "Everyone's going to talk about me dancing tomorrow," Sid says glumly.
"Was fun,"
Gino says, looking for a taxi. "I only did it because you made me." Sid cranes her neck and then throws her arm out. Gino blinks. He didn't even see it, but a taxi's pulling over for them.
"You want to come to my room for a while?"
Sid says once they're in. Gino blinks at her. She scowls at him.
"I've got taped to the Rangers," she says. "Oh," Gino says, "I..."
He needs to learn how to turn down time with Sid. He really does.
"Okay."
"Awesome," she says, settling back into the seat with a sigh. Gino looks away, telling himself he's not allowed to put his arm around her. They walk upstairs together, ignoring the looks they get from people in the hotel. There are already more than enough rumours flying about Sid's, well, everything. But her relationships with her teammates in particular. She does glance around, before she lets Gino into her room. "You can crash here if you go back to a party or something."
"Share with Gonch," Gino reminds her.
"Right," she says, looking away. "I'm going to change. Hang on a second, okay?" Gino uncomfortably sits on the bed that doesn't have Sid's stuff on it. Sid comes out a minute later in her pajamas.
"Okay,"
she says. Gino's not sure what he's being asked, but he nods. "Great," Sid says, climbing back onto the bed. Her shorts are riding up, and it gets worse when she pulls her legs up to her chest. Gino swallows and looks away. "See," Sid says, pausing the tape after a few minutes. "Their neutral zone coverage is shit. If Coach has me carry the puck in, I need you right behind me, making Lundqvist move from side to side."
"Yes, yes, I see,"
Gino says.
"Why are we doing this, Sid?"
Sid blinks at him. "Huh?"
"Everyone else out, having fun."
Gino nods at her.
"Why are we here?"
Sid looks away. "No reason."
"Sid," Gino says, "come on, talk."
I don't like going out, okay?" Sid curls up on herself even more. "It feels weird. It's fine for you guys, you can hook up and that's it. Guys hit on me, and half the time I don't notice and they get offended, or they say shit to me and I never want to deal with it."
"Why dance with me then?"
"You basically made me," Sid says, rolling her eyes. That makes Gino smile a little.
"Dare is make now."
"Shut up," Sid says. "Fine. You don't want to watch the DVDs. We'll watch the news." She fiddles around with the remote until CNN is on. It wouldn't feel weird to sit on separate beds with any other teammate. Gino's exactly the kind of guy Sid doesn't want to put up with, and he hates himself for it a little. He looks away from her and focuses on the TV. He's focusing so hard, he doesn't notice when Sid falls asleep. It's not until Gino hears a thump and a loud snore that he realizes anything's happened. He looks over. Sid's lying sideways on the bed, arms akimbo, snoring. Gino smiles in spite of himself. He gets up quietly and goes over to the bed, pulling her upright and then shaking her gently.
"Sid, go brush teeth. We'll be mad."
"Huh?" Sid opens her eyes, but she doesn't focus on Gino. She blinks at him for a second, then smiles. Gino will swear until he dies that he's moving away when she leans forward and kisses him. It's a slow, sleepy kiss, and Gino kisses back on instinct before he realizes what he's doing. When things click, though, he immediately moves away, She's not awake.
Sid,
he says, shaking her more firmly. She shakes her head. I'm awake. She bats at his hands. Let me go. Gino lets go of her immediately, stumbling back.
I go to my room, he says. Good night.
She waves a hand at him and lunges up, pushing past him for the bathroom. Gino closes his eyes and counts to 10, before grabbing his wallet off the bed and leaving. Luckily, no one sees him leaving her room. Sid doesn't mention the kiss the next day, but she does do exactly what she told him she would do on the ice. She flies up through the neutral ice like someone's lit her on fire, and Gino hauls himself up to keep up with her. Normally, he doesn't have that much trouble keeping up. She's good, yes. She's the best in the world. But Gino's got reach on her. Today, though, she's playing faster and harder than Gino's ever seen. But it's not enough. Their line can't finish, and Lundqvist stones them in the shootout. The Rangers take the 2 points. Sid clearly sulking on the ride home. Flower keeps leaning out into the aisle and giving them all significant looks. And on PS3, Sid's Forsaken actually playing in favour of beating Banger to death and then some. Gino doesn't have a PS3, but Talbot's sitting next to him, and he keeps whistling and muttering, "Damn, Sid." When they get back to the arena, Gino says quietly,
"Sid."
Sid glares at him.
"What?" "Left shoes in my car."
"I'll come get them tomorrow after practice," she snaps and stomps away.
"Shut down," Gaunt says from behind him. "Fuck off,"
Gino says and goes wearily to his car. "I'm coming over," Sid announces in the locker room the next day. Gino blinks up at her. She crosses her arms over her sports bra and stares down at him.
"Okay,"
Gino says. The locker room goes quiet for a second, but then Flower says, "Hey, best girl, this yours?" Lifting a thong he clearly brought in just for this purpose. Then the room erupts again, and Sid goes back to getting dressed. She follows Gino out. If anyone notices, they don't say anything, which means that, of course, people have noticed. Gino resigns himself to the knowledge that he's going to have to deal with Sergei's questioning the next day, and gets into his car. When they get to Gino's, Sid hops out, grabs a spare key from its spot concealed inside the mailbox by the front door, and lets herself in. Gino blinks for a second before following. "Do you have Gatorade?" Sid says.
"In fridge,"
Gino says. He hangs his coat up, then sighs, grabs Sid's, and hangs that one up too. Sid's sits in her spot on the couch with the Gatorade when he comes back. She swung her legs up, though, so that her toes brush against Gino's leg when he sits down. She pokes him. "What do you have on Netflix?"
"The Wire. Entourage," he says.
She rolls her eyes. "Entourage?"
"It's good."
"No, it's not," she says. "Put on The Wire." Gino doesn't know why he's following her orders, but he puts it on. She taps his thigh with her toe, over and over, until finally Gino grabs her foot.
"No,"
he says. She glares at him, but she tugs her foot away and doesn't move it again. And Gino feels weird about it, but this is nice. He wishes he had his arm around her. Then he always wishes that. After a while, she says, "We should go out to dinner." Gino raises his eyebrows.
"With guys?"
She shrugs. "Without them. I'm hungry." Gino never really looks forward to going out with Sid, because she tends to obsessively order ridiculously complicated dishes. The opportunity to go out alone with her, though, even as friends, Gino's not going to turn that down.
"Sure," he says. "When leave?"
"After this episode is over," she says, and they go back to watching it. Gino lets Sid pick the place because he's definitely not up for having that argument. Sid picks some fancy restaurant where people won't look at them funny, and no one will give her shit for ordering her chicken to her exact specifications. He doesn't even realise she has anything in her purse until she pulls out a Twix.
"Sid!"
"What?" she says, chewing.
"Is rude."
She shrugs. "I tip well." Gino shakes his head, but he knows if he tries to get her to stop, she'll just whine at him. So instead, he focuses on the menu, trying to ignore the way Sid's casual clothing clashes with everything about this restaurant, and how good she looks in it. Her breasts are right there,
Gina thinks despairingly. What are you getting? Sid says.
Chicken.
Gino says, oh, me too.
Not like my chicken.
Gino says, smiling a little. She rolls her eyes. I have to be careful about my conditioning.
I don't.
That's not what I meant.
Sid.
Gino reaches out and kicks her gently.
I know. Why tense?
She scowls at him. I'm not.
Little bit.
I've had a weird day, okay? Gino doesn't buy it for a second, but he says,
okay, Steelers.
Sid perks up, because she likes every sport anyone's ever invented. They talk about it for a while, even after they've ordered food. Sid's talking about how great it would be if girls could play football, and Gino's giving her shit.
You big football star, Sid.
When the food comes. She does what she always does, poking her chicken and inspecting it carefully before saying, good enough, and starting to eat. Gino tries not to watch her. He does. She's not attractive when she's eating, or anything. Well, she's attractive to him, always. But it's not like she turns into some kind of siren when she's eating. Gino just likes being around her. He's being ridiculous in his own head. He mentally shakes his head at himself and goes back to eating. That was fun, Sid says when they're done. We should do it again.
Yes,
Gino says, because he tends to agree with Sid when she's not saying something hideously stupid. Cool, Sid says. Back to your place for some beer?
I have vodka. You have beer, Gino says.
She shrugs. Okay. That's how they end up on Gino's couch, watching old episodes of The Office. Sid's still resting her feet on Gino's thigh, but she's not jiggling them, so Gino doesn't really care. It's actually kind of nice. Sid makes a face every time she drinks her Bud Light, but it's better than nothing, and Gino knows Sid feels the same way. After two beers and a glass of vodka for Gino, Sid says, maybe I should get going. It's a question, but Gino nods. It's 11 at night. He kind of wants to sleep. Okay, cool. Sid says, and then does one of those impossible moves where Gino can't track her. One minute she's lying back against his couch, and the next she's kissing him. So lightly he can barely feel it, hands awkward against his face.
No,
Gino blurts out, moving away. Sid frowns.
What? Why?
I don't know, she says. I thought we could have some fun. Gino's heart feels like it's being squeezed in his chest.
No, he says. Not fun, Sid. Not for me. Like this.
Sid's face goes blank. Oh, she says. Okay, I'll go then. It would be crazy to ask if this entire time was a stunt to fuck him. So Gino doesn't. Instead, he says.
Okay, I walk to door.
Sid stops at the door, looking up at him like she expects something. Gino hugs her carefully.
Bye, Sid.
Bye, she says quietly and leaves. Gino groans and flops back on the couch when she's gone. His first instinct is to call Gonch and get blindingly drunk, but he can't reasonably do that the night before a game. Instead, he cleans up after Sid. She leaves so much shit everywhere somehow, even when she's not over for long. And Gino hates himself for how much he loves it, before he goes up to bed. He doesn't do anything stupid, like relive the kiss once he's in bed. That would be living in a reality that doesn't even exist. Some world where Sid wants to kiss him for real, and not just as a precursor to a quick fuck. He does jerk off thinking about her, though, the way he shamefully has for a while now. Her skin was so soft, and her lips were chapped exactly how he thought they would be. He wants so much from her, and for a few minutes he lets himself think about her riding him, kissing him, and coming around him. It doesn't take him long to fall asleep, but it still kind of feels like there's a brick in the pit of his stomach. He feels the same way when he wakes up, but he has to get to morning skate. They're playing the Flyers, which means everyone is a little more keyed up than usual. Christmas is 2 weeks away, and everyone's making corny jokes about Christmas presents,
only some of which Juno gets. But they're off. They're so off. Even Sid can't make her passes connect, and they wind up losing by 3 goals. She's so pissed, she breaks her stick against the wall on the way out. Juno wants to say something, but he can't think of anything to say. Instead, he watches Colby talk to her quietly. Colby tends to know exactly what to say. Then again, he speaks English natively. She doesn't even look at him that day. Juno tells himself it's for the best, but he still feels shitty about it. Think they've broken up, Flower saying, as Juno walks up to him. Oh, hey, Juno.
Going out tonight.
Flower glances at Talbot.
Yeah, but I come, Juno says.
Yeah, sure, buddy, Talbot says. We're going to, you know, pick up.
Yes,
Juno says. Ignoring the looks Flower and Talbot give each other.
Is good. Let's go.
You gotta get dressed first, Talbot says.
Sure,
Juno says and goes back over to his locker. When he glances over at Sid, she's scowling at him. He waves back, then concentrates on getting ready to go. The club Flower and Talbot pick is loud and smelly. Juno feels right at home. Flower and Talbot zoom in on the same girl, which surprises him not at all. He finds a girl to talk with. Her name is Elisa, and she's in college, and she thinks his accent is cute. Normally, people who think his accent is cute are right off the list. But tonight, he thinks it's exactly what he's looking for. They talk for an hour before Juno invites her back to his place. She kisses him in the car, and then again against the door. It's harmless. No one will take pictures of him kissing her. So he kisses back, and when he finally gets the door unlocked, they're still kissing. Which is why, when she screams, he jumps back.
What? What?
She's staring in the living room. Juno follows her gaze, and then jumps because Sid's sitting on his couch, staring at them in the dark. You need to go, Sid says. And Juno's pretty sure she's not talking to him.
Oh my god,
the girl says. She yanks her phone out and starts dialing, running out of Juno's house.
What?
Juno says flatly, flipping the lights on and locking his door.
What was that?
Sid says, standing up.
What?
You'll slut it up with anyone with a pussy now? She says pussy strangely, like she's not used to saying it.
No,
Juno says.
She nice. I want. We go home. Why are you here?
Because I wanted to talk. She looks him up and down disdainfully. But apparently that's not what you're into, so...
Unfair, Sid, Juno says. I not know you here.
Oh, you would have restrained yourself if you did?
Sid,
Juno says desperately. I don't know why I even tried, she says, voice raising.
You clearly don't want to hear what I have to say. You don't want to be friends, not really.
And that makes Juno mad.
I not want? What you tell me, Sid. We have fun. Friends have fun like that.
Sometimes, Sid yells. Oh, God, forget it. She elbows her way past him, running out of his house, the same way Elisa did. But then Juno's alone. Hands clenched in fists, confused and turned on and missing Sid. Some nights he hates being friends with her, he really does. He storms upstairs, more than ready to go to bed. He wakes up at 7 the next morning. He hasn't had nearly enough sleep, since he got home so late. And really, how long was Sid waiting for him? But he can't go back to sleep. But he can't get back to sleep, so he gets up. He's not expecting his doorbell to go off at 10. He goes and answers it. It's Sid standing on his doorstep, carrying. He blinks. Flowers and candy.
Sid.
Hi, she says. Can I come in? She muscles past him and into his house before he gets a chance to answer. I brought you flowers, she says. They're lilies.
Thank you,
Juno says. She stares at him for a second before shoving them at him. Take them. Juno silently obeys. Sid says, cool. And, candy. She waves the cardboard heart at him. I kind of ate a few pieces. Juno blinks at her, not completely sure he's not hallucinating. This makes no sense. He's pretty sure his English could be perfect, and this would still make no sense.
Sid, explain.
You were mad at me.
Yes. Sneak into my house. Tell girl to leave. Is rude.
Well, Sid frowns at him. That was... I had a reason for that. One night stands are bad for you. That doesn't even make sense.
Guys do it all the time.
Sid crosses her arms. You don't, normally.
Change mind. Decide want to get laid, not your business.
I'm your friend.
Other friends, not sit in house, yell at girls.
But...
No, Sid.
Gino goes out to his kitchen and sets the flowers and candy down on the table.
Need to stop.
I'm trying to apologize.
Not very good at it.
I'm trying, Sid says again. I... Gino, look at me. Gino really doesn't want to, but he does what she says.
I'm sorry, Sid says. I really am.
Gino can't figure that out, he thinks. He has no idea what's going on in her head half the time, but that's not her fault, and he knows it. She's always going to be weird. That's just how Sid works. He sighs.
Is okay, he says. Want breakfast?
I ate, she says. We could play Xbox. She sounds hopeful in the awkward way she has. Gino nods and they go out to the living room. They really get into it, as usual. And Gino doesn't notice lunchtime has come and gone until Sid says, I'm starving.
I cook, Gino says, standing up.
No! She grabs his hand and tugs him down. Let me order. I know a couple places. Gino blinks at her. Just let me buy you lunch, okay? She says crankily.
Okay,
Gino says, because what else is he going to say? After they've eaten, Sid says, right, this was fun, and I'm going to go now. He blinks at her.
Goodbye.
Cool, Sid says. Oh, Mario wants you to come to dinner tomorrow.
His joke,
Gino says. Ha ha. No, he really does, she shrugs. I don't know. I'll see you there, okay? She leaves before he has a chance to respond. He doesn't know why hanging out with Sid always makes him stupid. Well, he knows. He's so hung up on her still, in spite of how weird she's been lately. But knowing doesn't mean he has to like it. He feels uncomfortably keyed up thinking about the dinner with Mario. Like somehow Mario's going to look at him and just know how he feels about Sid. He knows for a fact that Mario would ruin lives to keep Sid safe. Her parents aren't the greatest, and Mario loves her. The few times anyone's actually said the shit they say about Mario and Sid to Mario's face haven't gone well. So yeah, Gino's nervous. He channels that energy into practice the next day. When they're changing, Sergei says, dinner tonight? Gino shakes his head.
I'm going to Mario's with Sydney.
Sergei blinks. Really?
He invited me.
Gino shrugs. Sergei smiles a little.
You really have no idea why? No,
Gino says.
Maybe he need talk to Sid and me about,
he thinks,
line combinations.
Have a good time, Xenia, Sergei says, clapping him on the back. He's still smiling, which is more than a little infuriating. Gino wants to tell him to go fuck himself, but Gino's not currently wearing pants, and Sergei is dressed and leaving. Gino's never sure what to wear to Mario's. Gino's not exactly poor, but Mario's house is really nice, and he tends to be permanently dressed in semi-dressy clothing. Finally, he settles on slacks and a dress shirt and drives over to Mario's. Sid answers the door. Hey, she says. She's wearing jeans and a slouchy sweater, and she's smiling. All Gino can do is blink at her for a second. She looks so comfortable, more comfortable than Gino's ever seen her. You can come in, you know, she says, stepping aside. So Gino does.
Brought wine,
he says, holding the bottle up. Awesome. I'll give it to Natalie. Sid takes it from him, their fingers brushing. We're playing Rock Band. Go out into the living room. Which is how Gino ends up singing while Mario plays a tiny fake guitar. Sid's sitting it out, but she's laughing at them and teasing Mario's daughters. It's comfortable. It feels like family. Gino's not freaking out about it now, but he probably will later. Things are pretty normal, the values of normal, that include Gino being over at Mario's house, until after dinner. Mario and Gino are on dishes duty, and Mario hands him a plate to dry and says, "Sid's very important to me."
"Me too," Gino says.
He knows Mario won't understand just how important, but he figures he's getting the general message across.
"I want her to be happy," Mario says.
"Me too."
"Good." Mario hands him another plate.
"Good. That's good, Gino."
Apparently the conversation is over. Gino is relieved because he has no idea what else he's going to say. He's not sure why Mario would be protective towards him, but he's not going to argue. He's protective towards Sid too. He and Sid leave together at almost 10 o'clock. "This was fun," Sid says. They walk out Gino's car. "We should do this again." With less threatening by Mario, sure.
"Yes," Gino says. "Mario, nice. Care about penguins a lot."
"Huh? Oh, yeah."
"And you?"
Gino says, because he thinks it should be out in the open. "Well," Sid says, not looking at Gino. They stop in front of Gino's car.
"So, I guess I'll see you tomorrow," Sid says, looking up at him.
Gino's throat feels tight. She's looking up at him, standing close, and she licks her lips and... Gino steps away.
"Good night," he says.
And practically runs into his car. In his mirror, he can see Sid frowning, but she leaves for the guest house when he pulls out of the driveway. The next day after practice, Sid says, "Hey, so, I got you something." Gino looks around. She's definitely talking to him, even though everyone else is doing that thing where they're listening, even though they're busy pushing their equipment away.
"What get me?" he says.
She rummages around in her bag and pulls out a cup. It has a smiling monster on it. "See, if you wiggle it, it's like it's waving," Sid says, wiggling the cup. It's strange, but it makes Gino laugh.
"Thank you,"
he says, taking the cup. When he looks up, Sid's smiling. "You're welcome." Gino tucks the cup in his bag.
"Going to car?"
"Yeah."
"We go,"
he says, standing up. It's not like he doesn't notice everyone staring at them, but he doesn't really know why. He'd have thought everyone was used to Sid being a little weird by now. When he gets home, he pulls the cup back out and looks at it. He shouldn't let it matter to him. Someone probably just told Sid that friends buy each other presents, but it still makes him feel just fond. Happy that Sid saw something and thought of him. Even if it's something pretty ridiculous. 2 days later, Sid invites herself back to Gino's after practice. "I got you something," she says, when they get to Gino's. Gino blinks.
"Again?"
"It's nothing major." She hands him a box. He looks inside. It's a lumpy scarf. "This isn't a Christmas present," Sid says quickly. "My sister Taylor, she knits, but she's not good at it, so she mostly just makes scarves, and I guess I talk about you a lot, so she made you a scarf."
"Thank you,"
Gino says, throat tight. He pulls it out of the box and puts it on.
"How I look."
"Nice," Sid says quietly. "Yeah, you look nice." Gino strikes a pose, laughing when he makes her laugh. She kicks him lightly. "Knock it off."
"Maybe I wear always," Gino says. "You like?"
"No, it's not very nice." But she's still laughing.
"I wear it," Gino says. "Mine now."
"Knock it off." She grabs the scarf and tugs, trying to get it off. Gino mimes choking, and she laughs even more. She's not leaning into him or anything, but she's closer than she normally is, and for a second it occurs to Gino that it would be so easy to kiss her. But just as he's thinking about it, Sid's eyes widen and she scoots away. "Anyway," she says, looking away. She's pulling her knees up so that she's completely away from Gino, the set of her shoulders telling Gino she's uncomfortable. "I only use many scarves, so..."
"It's nice, Sid," Gino says gently. "Thank you."
"Yeah, well," she picks at her jeans. They watch some TV, and then it's late enough that Sid leaves. Gino looks at the scarf draped over the arm of his couch. He wants Sid so badly his chest feels tight with it. But Sid wants to have some fun, and Gino knows he can't deal with that, not really. Their friendship is going so well lately, and he doesn't want to ruin that. So he shakes his head at himself and goes upstairs. Things actually go back to normal after that, mostly. Sid's still inviting herself over, and Gino's still wanting her so badly. He's a little worried about himself. And, well, Sergei's worried too, which he makes obvious. But things are fine, for the most part. On the 27th, the Penguins have their team Christmas party. It's a day off, so Gino sleeps in, then puts on his best ugly sweater to go to the party. It's fun. They all give each other dumb gifts. Talbot bought Dupuy women's underwear, and Gino gets Geordie a flower bobblehead and hang out. Sid's got on an ugly sweater like everyone else, and a Santa hat on top of that. Gino thinks he's in the clear, mostly, until the party's over, and Sid says, "Can I come over?" Gino glances around the room. Sergei meets his gaze and shakes his head a little. And yeah, Gino knows he shouldn't, but he says,
"Sure."
Top line elitism, eh? Talbot says, laughing. Everyone else laughs with him. Gino didn't even realize the room was silent. When they get to Gino's, Sid pulls a wrapped gift out of her car. "I got you something," she says. Gino blinks. He gave her gift, a gift certificate to the guy who does her pants, a week ago.
"I didn't just one."
"I know, it's cool," she says.
I saw, thought of,
something like that," she says. "Let's go inside." Gino settles down on the couch. Sid sits in her spot and pushes the gift across to him.
"Thank you,"
Gino says, picking it up and unwrapping it. For a second, all he can do is blink. It's a framed newspaper article of Gino holding the Conn Smythe. "I noticed you didn't have one," she said, "and I found one. I thought you'd like it, so I looked around, and I had it framed. It goes with your furniture." "It really does."
"Thank you," Gino says slowly.
Questions are buzzing around in his mind. After a second, he just decides to say it.
"Why?"
"Huh?" Gino turns to look at her.
"Very nice," he says, motioning to the frame. "I thank, but why?"
"Oh, well, I just, you know, I thought you'd like it."
"Said that already. Thought I like cup and scarf too."
"Well, you did," Sid says defensively. Gino sighs.
"Sid, we friends. You being strange."
"No, I'm not." But it's obvious that she's lying.
"Look at me,"
Gino says. She reluctantly turns to look at him.
"What? Why you do this?"
Gino says again. He just wants her to say it's because she wants to be more than friends. Even in her stuttering, weird way, he wants her to say it. He wants it so badly they think she's gone insane when she says, "I'm practicing. I was thinking I'd try dating." Gino stares.
"Serious?"
"Yes."
"Dating?"
"I can date if I want."
"Right," Gino says. "Yes, Sid date. Sid find nice guy."
"I'm right here," Sid reminds him.
"Have fun," Gino says. "Should go."
Sid blinks up at him. "Huh?"
"Practice dating, not tell me."
"I thought it was obvious," Sid says. "I mean, Sergei kind of threatened me. Everyone knew." That just makes Gino feel stupid.
"Go, Sid."
He can't deal with this, not right now.
"Find guy, not me."
Sid's gathering her things, but he doesn't miss her suddenly muttering, "Well, no, because you don't want to." Gino freezes.
"What?"
She straightens up. She's bright red, but she says, "I kissed you, and you didn't want it, so I'm totally going to date someone else. That's what this is about." Gino feels like his head is spinning.
"Lying," Gino says. "Why you lie, Sid?"
"I'm not lying," Sid lies.
"Yes?"
Gino takes a step forward.
"What happening? Why date without telling me?"
"Because I thought you'd like it," Sid yells. I thought, if you didn't want to, I could try it, and then maybe you would want to. I don't know. It was stupid. I'm going to go now. Gino can't let that happen. He lurches forward, feeling suddenly stupid and clumsy, and kisses her. It's not world-changing or anything. Sid goes stiff with surprise, but then she wraps her arms around Gino, pressing her breasts against him. She kisses back surprisingly well, just as focused as she does anything else. When Gino pulls away, they're both a little out of breath. Oh, Sid says, okay. Gino lowers his head, pressing their foreheads together.
Want date, he makes himself say. Didn't realize. Want you, Sid.
You're sure? Gino would laugh if he could.
Yes, very, very sure.
Okay. Sid leans up and kisses him again. Gino kisses back eagerly, pulling her against him again. She deepens the kiss when he puts his hands on her hips, getting a handful of his hair. Hey, Sid says, pulling away. Does this mean we can have sex? Like, now? Gino's mind is a little blown for a second. Finally, he manages to say,
yes, if you date me.
Of course I'll date you, Sid says, if you'll fuck me. Gino has to kiss her then.
Deal.
Okay, awesome, Sid says, and then breaks away, going upstairs. It's a nice view, and now Gino gets to enjoy it. He smiles and hurries up after her. It almost doesn't feel real. Pressing Sid against the bedroom wall and kissing her. Sid's kissing back eagerly, tucking her hands just below his waistband over his ass. Gino's more than happy with that. He rucks her shirt up, just wanting to touch so much skin. Sid's noisy too, when he moves to kiss her neck. She makes these breathy little moans that Gino wants to hear forever. He kisses her and kisses her, sucking lightly, not even caring if he leaves a mark. Sid's hands scramble at his back as he does it, and he smiles against her skin, sliding a hand down and gently cupping her breast. Oh, Sid says, Gino.
Shh,
Gino says. He goes up to kiss her again, brushing his fingers over her nipples. He can just feel how hard they are beneath her sweater. Then Sid saying impatiently, take it off. I'm sensitive. You'll see. And lifting her arms, looking at Gino expectantly. And well, it's not like Gino's going to tell her no. He pulls the sweater off and then just takes a second to look at her. She's wearing a tank top underneath, and her bra is doing nothing to hide how turned on she is.
Sid,
Gino says quietly, kissing her again. Sid presses against him eagerly. She grabs his hand and brings it up to her chest, gasping a little when he touches her again. She really is sensitive, which makes Gino kiss her harder, pushing a leg between her thighs. Bed, Sid says, tugging at him. Now. She follows her own instructions, pulling her shirt off as she goes. She makes Gino's breath catch. He follows her, stripping his sweater off and getting down onto the bed to kiss her. He's not surprised when she rolls them so that she's on top. She props herself up on her elbows and keeps kissing him, moving her hands awkwardly over his chest. She's so pushy, and Gino feels ridiculous for how gratified he feels that she's this eager, even with her relative inexperience showing a little. I don't do this a lot, Sid admits, pulling away to look at Gino. I mean, I know what it's like, but that's not, it's not with people. That's an image that's not going to leave him soon.
I know. Is okay.
Well, I'd hope so, Sid says, then leans in to kiss him again. It's not long before his hands are roaming over her bra strap. She nods against him, kissing his neck, so he unhooks the straps and tugs them down. The position they're in means she's sitting up when she gets her bra off. She's small-chested but so gorgeous. Gino cups her shoulders and just looks at her for a second before she says,
also, you could do something. Do everything, Gino says, rolling them over.
He kisses her collarbone, then the underside of her breast.
Gorgeous, Sid.
Stop it, she kicks him lightly. I'm here. You don't have to flatter me.
Not flattery. True.
He licks her nipples lightly. They're harder when she moans. She was right. She's sensitive, and it's amazing. He wants to know, someday, if he can make her come like this. Playing with her breasts, with her slowly grinding against his thigh. That's for later, though. Right now, he kisses down her stomach. Careful, she informs him. I'm ticklish. And traces his tongue over the spot where her skin meets her jeans. He waits until she says, You can. Before he unbuttons her pants and eases them off. She's wearing red and white striped underwear, and Gina can tell how far gone he is by the way he thinks the cotton underwear is the hottest thing a woman's ever worn. Quit staring, Sid says. Gina kisses the spot just above her underwear.
For now, he says,
and moves back up her body, kissing her, as he runs a hand, very lightly, down between her legs. She arches up against his thigh, her own hands moving uncertainly, all over where she can reach. He kisses her and then slowly, carefully, slides his hand inside her underwear. And God, she's already wet. He runs his fingers over her carefully before pulling his hand out. Gino, Sid whines, trying to follow him with her hips.
What you want?
Sid stares at him blankly. What?
Hand. Mouth.
Oh. She flushes a deep, dark red. Anything's good, really.
Sid.
I'm serious.
What do you do when...
He has to swallow.
When alone.
She looks away and mumbles. I use my fingers a lot and, a vibrator.
Like it?
She rolls her eyes. Of course I like it. Gina laughs a little.
Good,
he says, kissing her neck. He pushes her underwear down slowly, giving her plenty of time to object. She doesn't, though. She spreads her legs and fixes him with a look that he remembers from 2-on-1 drills and extra practice with her. It's the kind of look that he's pretty sure got her into the NHL. And it's so hot he can barely think. He spreads her open for him as he kisses her, then slowly rubs his fingers over her. She makes a tiny noise against him and relaxes back into the bed, going completely pliant. It's a reaction that surprises him, but it's not like it's not something he can work with. He kisses her deeply, stroking her and paying attention to what makes her move a little more. She's so easy for it, too, moving with Gina like she'd never done anything else. When he starts rubbing his fingers over her clit, she makes a muffled noise against his mouth and presses her hips up. He can't keep from smiling, which makes her smack him. But then she keeps a hand on his shoulder, and it's amazing. When she comes, she's shaking against him, moaning into his mouth. He strokes her through it and goes to put his hand away. But she grabs his wrist and says desperately, No, not yet. Please, just... I can. Again. I'll do you too, I promise. Just, please. Like Gino could tell her no. He kisses her, and kisses her, and follows her hand, guiding him to press hard against her. As she thrusts her hips. There's nothing he wouldn't do for her right now, with her face flushed and the tiny, desperate noises she's making. He starts rocking his hips against hers, just trying for some friction, and she says, Oh, and starts moving even more quickly. The second time she comes, she grips his shoulders so tightly, he knows he's going to have bruises. She slumps against him, breathing hard, and he can barely see he's so turned on. Oh, Sid says, Gina. She rocks up against him, wiggling a hand between them. She's got calluses and she's so quick, and God, he wants to do this again.
Sid,
he says, thrusting into her hand. She kisses him, pressing up against him, and it doesn't take much of anything at all to make him come. He moves away from her almost right away, but to his surprise, she scoots a little closer to him, just enough that their sides touch. He blinks hard, staring at the ceiling and trying to get his breath back.
That was nice, Sid says.
Gino smiles a little. She sounds bewildered.
Enjoy?
I mean, yes.
Good,
he says, and kisses her.
Stay a while.
She blinks at him. Am I supposed to go somewhere else? That makes his smile turn into a full-on grin.
No, Sid. No.
Oh, okay. So she stays. The end. Thank you for listening.